strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Raid. Presented by Santan Ford.
Chandler Jones, the new Cardinal sack king. Buda Baker with the sack. Throws end zone for Fitz, goes up, and makes the game-winning catch! Larry Legend does it again!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
The Red Sea is rising up!
Temperature rising, vision blurring. Rage taking over.
From Cardinals headquarters.
Hey, guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
Well, the schedule says it's the offseason. But reality says this might be the most important stretch of many seasons to come. As the Cardinals close in on their next head coach, and then it is the next question, the QB question. You have to check both boxes this offseason, and this offseason is off and running. There is no doubt about that, just like we are here with the Big Red Rage. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. And the Cardinals are into round two of interviews, at least reportedly a couple of interviews scheduled by the end of the week, and that would be Keith Armstrong and also Steve Wilks. Steve Wilks completed an interview with the Tennessee Titans today. So there are other teams still out there. There are eight names now on this list, Ron Wolfley. Mike Munchak, can go ahead and put a line through that. We'll get to that momentarily. But overall, do you sense the importance, the urgency of the moment in a way, not necessarily in being timely or running the no huddle, but just the import that is attached with what is going right on right now, Cardinals history unfolding right before our eyes.
Yeah, but once again, Paulie, I think it's really important that a modicum of restraint is actually used here, right? Because we've seen this happen before. There's a lot of teams that do rush, I think, on some of these head coaches, and I think it's one of the reasons why. Now, listen, I'm not sitting in the room, Paulie. I'm not qualified, really, to hire a coach. I'm not sitting in the room. I'm not listening to the answers that are being said by the candidate. But I will say this right here, honestly. I think doing your due diligence in the end pays off. And I think there's a lot of owners out there that may rush a little bit into actually hiring their next head coach. This is a critical, critical point for any organization, because for the next 3 or 4 years, maybe even longer than that, it's going to dictate how your organization wins and how they lose.
Well, a week ago at this time, we had Michael Bidwill, the team president, in this studio, being very forthright with his answers, fielding all questions, and he made it very clear again in his words, we're not going to copycat anyone. There are no outside forces that are influencing the Cardinals coaching search, albeit a type of head coach, whether it's age or a certain side of the ball or special teams. In terms of a timeline, no. There are at least two coaches on this list or are wrapped up in the championship games over the weekend. It looks like the Cardinals are going to wait early next week to go ahead and maybe get a second interview with perhaps a Brian Flores of New England or maybe a John DeFilippo, the Eagles quarterback coach. They are proceeding at their own pace and with their own criteria in mind.
And let me just say this, Paulie. At this point in time, with some of the other jobs filling up and some of the other rumors that are out there that Pat Shurmur is on his way to New York, right? He's going to be the next head coach there, and Matt Patricia is headed with the Detroit Lions, and then you've got Josh McDaniels going to the, supposedly all the rumors that are out there. Once again, what's your hurry at this point in time then? If in fact all of that is true, which I do believe it is, what's your rush on this one?
It's
tough, worked
though.
Really, really well the last time.
True.
They hired Bruce Arians. He was the eighth and final head coach hired. That worked out really, really well.
Got to be difficult, though. I admit, if I was up there, if, and this is a huge if, capital letters, if I was a decision maker, it would be tough not to keep your head on a swivel and look at your competition and what are some of the other teams doing and who are they looking at and who are they closing in on. But they've been through this before. And, you know, Steve Keim talked about that with the media. Having gone through it with Bruce Arians, he's that much wiser in the process.
It really doesn't matter what your point of emphasis is, either offense, defense, or special teams, they got to get the right guy.
The right fit. In fact, you'll hear from Michael Bidwell and what he had to say about the process. And we'll start naming names next. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
I can't thank you enough. That's the greatest f***ing effort I've ever seen. This last month, what you guys have done is absolutely f***ing amazing. You have to be so proud of the character and the heart that you have shown. It's been my f***ing pleasure to be your coach. I was going to wait to tell you tomorrow. That's my last game. I love all of you, every single one. And man, I'm going to miss the hell out of you. I promise. Thank you, guys.
There you go. The last time BA was in front of the team, game day was in Seattle. The Cardinals finish up with a win, their first two-game winning streak of the season to go 8-8. And the BNBA is always standing for blunt and bleep. And that's just one of the many things we'll miss about the guy. I miss him already. It's not going to be reality, though, until that new head coach is standing in front of that podium fielding questions from the media, and we're closing in on that day. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and you probably saw, Wolf, that BA confirmed he's going to play in the Phoenix Open Pro-Am. So there you go. You know what I mean? After 40-plus years of coaching, the man has earned more than just a round of golf. Play a lot of golf, BA, and enjoy it.
Yeah, I just love the fact that he wants to remain and have a footprint here in the basin. I love that, Paulie.
All right, so he leaves behind quite a void. I mean, you know, you're going to have to fill the shoes of not only a two-time NFL Coach of the Year, but a big personality. A guy who, in my opinion, was the identity of the Arizona Cardinals in many ways over the last 5 years.
No doubt.
How daunting is that challenge just in general for the next head coach of the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, you know, honestly, I don't think it really is, Paulie. And the reason why I say that is because every coach is different, right? I mean, this was something we talked to Michael about as well. You know, they're not looking for that guy to be Bruce Arians. How could he possibly be Bruce Arians? Bruce Arians with his gregarious personality, right? I just think it'd be a mistake. What a head coach has got to be is genuine. Above all else, he's got to be genuine. And as long as he's genuine, he remains true to himself, Paulie, he's going to be just fine. But you have to be yourself.
Michael Bidwell on the Big Red Rage last week talking about the search and the process.
We met with some excellent coaches. We've got a lot of great potential there. For me and for Steve, we've talked about it. We want to have a thorough process. And so that's going to include second interviews where we can dive down into a little bit more detail. We've now, you know, broken the ice with some of the people that we didn't know before. And we'll have a more relaxed setting, I'm sure, in terms of getting to know people.
Now, you asked him, are there any names that have not been reported? There are nine names on the list. He didn't offer any additional names. So this is the working list as far as we know it. You can cross off Mike Munchak, who for family reasons decided it wouldn't be opportune to relocate his family from Pittsburgh. That is where he's going to stay. He declined the Cardinals' offer for a second interview. And then reportedly, Keith Armstrong and Steve Wilks will have interviewed by the end of the week for the second time.
Keith Armstrong really has got my attention right here. I'm receiving phone calls from around the league, Paulie, on Keith Armstrong. As a matter of fact, just former players, people that love this guy. The guy is thought of being not only a pristine man, but also a guy that is a leader of men. Very, very similar to what you heard on Mike Tomlin. When Mike Tomlin came out as the defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings and the Pittsburgh Steelers hired him, they referred to him as a leader of men. I'll never forget that day. And yet this is what I'm being told about Keith Armstrong. Paulie, listen, I'm not qualified to hire a head coach in the National Football League. I never will be, right? I am not. I'm not sitting in that room. I don't ask him questions, a potential candidate, right? I don't listen to the answers. That's kind of important. It doesn't qualify me to even comment on most of this stuff. I think you would agree with that. But having said all of that, by reputation, Keith Armstrong, man, this guy is A1.
I'm going to disagree with a little bit of that. I think you're selling yourself short in the following aspect. And it's the reason that I said it made sense off the top is that you are a four-time Pro Bowler when it comes to special teams. And he is a special teams coach,
sure. A
longtime special teams coach. And I think most fans, and maybe yours truly included, sort of look at that. And that's the first thing that jumps out about his candidacy and whether being a special teams coach truly qualifies you to be a head coach. Your opinion on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Now that I will comment on. There's no doubt it does. Being a special teams coach, he deals with the entire team, not just the offense or the defense, like a coordinator, an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator, obviously. Other than the head coach, the special teams coach interfaces and interacts with more players than any offense or defensive coordinator ever would. And he's been doing it. This is what I love, Bali. He's been doing it for the last two decades, 20 years as a special teams coach in the National Football League.
Okay, let's stop right there, because I think when this process started, I know yours truly was thinking, oh man, look at the Rams, look at the 49ers, and they have these 30-something young, hot
yes.
offensive head coaches.
Yes.
And we know the NFL is notorious for being a copycat league. Are the Cardinals in the market for their next young, hotshot, you know, guy to come in? And, well, that was the question we put to Michael Bidwill last week.
I'm not trying to copycat anybody. What I'm trying to do is make the best decisions for us to hire the next leader, head coach, that will deliver championships to this team and to this town.
All right, so you have Keith Armstrong with two decades of experience
yes.
in the NFL. Now we have Steve Wilks, who's reportedly in line by the end of the week for a second interview right here at Cardinals headquarters. He is 48 years of age, so he has the experience. However, he's only spent 1 year as a coordinator this past season with Carolina as their defensive coordinator. Most of the metrics stand out. They're top 10 in most every single category. What do we know about Steve Wilks at this point?
My goodness, not a lot, Paulie. I really don't. Once again, we do know that he's a very impressive individual. I talked to Sean McDonough, as a matter of fact, from Monday Night Football, right? And Sean McDonough said, my goodness, we walked out of that meeting room sitting there with a pre-game meeting that they had, of course, a pre-broadcast meeting. They sat down with Steve Wilks, and he walked out of there, turned to John Gruden, and said, that's one of the most impressive individuals I've met in a long, long time. So, again, it's by reputation that we're hearing this about Steve Wilks. You look at the defense, of course. He had an awful lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball. But Steve Wilks is an intriguing guy. There's no doubt about that. James Betcher, personally, I'd love to see James Betcher. If you're going to go with the defensive coordinator, I would love to see James Betcher get the opportunity to be the head coach for this team. Having said all of that, I don't know if that's feasible.
Okay, here's my one question. When it comes to Wilks versus a Betcher, Wilks runs a 4-3. Betcher running the 3-4, are you going to change out all your personnel if you are the Arizona Cardinals? Does that mandate you got to change all your personnel to fit Steve Wilks' system that
no.
he's accustomed to?
No, I don't think so. I really don't.
Right.
Once
That's
again,
not
you
a...
can go. No, you can go with a hybrid 3-4 defense where suddenly are you going to block Chandler Jones by way of example? Are you going to block him with a running back, Paul? Is that
no.
what you're going to do?
That would be no.
So, exactly right. You're not going to look at him and say, oh, he's a linebacker in a 3-4 defense. We're going to put a running back on him. Of course you would not do that, because your quarterback would get killed and Chandler Jones would finish the season with 34 sacks.
It's not to say there aren't coaches in their 30s on this list. James Betcher, 39 years of age.
Yes.
And we haven't heard any reports that he's going to receive a second interview, but I would presume you can agree or disagree. They know James Betcher, obviously, far better, infinitely
Absolutely.
Better than anyone else, and they spent a whole day with him. They just spent the last 5 years with him. So
I think James Betcher is still in the mix
to be
the head coach, Paulie. I do. I just don't think that he needs a second interview. This guy's, he's got 5 years.
Right.
He doesn't need a second sit-down.
And he even reportedly has his offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator all lined up. You have a Chuck Pagano who would be the defensive coordinator, a Mike McCoy as offensive coordinator. If you believe the reports, both those guys are available.
Yes.
And maybe one of the most telling moments in an interview last week with Michael Bidwill was when it came to our question about a staff and what can you believe when guys tell you who they have all lined up. And Michael Bidwill said, look, as a former prosecutor, he said, first thing I ask, are they under contract? Good teams aren't letting good coaches just go.
Yes.
And unless they're promoted to head coach, they're not able to get out of their contracts unless that team lets them go.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about Keith Armstrong, right? Just the fact that Bruce Arians also recommended Keith Armstrong, the special teams coach, right? And I love that because of the BA culture. I think when you look at Keith Armstrong and you listen to Keith Armstrong, some of the overt in-your-face moments of Keith Armstrong,
yeah.
very reminiscent of BA, is it not? And that's the reason why I also like James Betcher, is because I believe James Betcher would bring that BA culture, keep that BA culture to some degree here.
It's amazing. The names that are left on the list, you could all go with a hashtag, no nonsense. These are guys who are
like
straightforward.
Like it.
And there is definitely a theme. In fact, Wolf, you ask and you shall receive. We will hear from Keith Armstrong in action next. Also, Brian Flores, the linebackers coach for the Patriots, we'll get a glimpse into him and what he has to say. Remember, it's not just him, but John DeFilippo at 39 years of age, the Philly quarterbacks coach, another guy.
That's right.
Younger guy who is tracking for a second interview as well. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
This isn't a draft. This is an interview process in which, you know, it's they're deciding too. We don't get to just say, you're our head coach. I want them to feel like they've seen the place and they feel like this is a good fit for them too. And I think that's part of it. I also want them to meet other people around this organization that they'll be working with.
And it's so critical. We've talked about that. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley here at Cardinals HQ. And this is exactly where Michael Bidwell, the team president, wants to bring these candidates for these second interviews. You heard him explain why right there. And I think I'm just going to, you know, build on what he said there, Wolf. When you go from a coordinator or position coach, it's all about the X's and O's. When you become a CEO, there are so many other responsibilities. The job description just grows exponentially. You touch virtually every aspect of the organization and this business of the NFL. And, you know, if you're a team president, you want to make sure that the head coach is equipped for that, that he's more than just a football coach.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Paulie. And you know what? I think it's prudent that you do that. The face of your franchise, and like it or not, that's what you're really going to become. You hire a head coach, and you're going to become the face of a franchise, right? It's one of the reasons why we hear this, oh, you got to win the press conference. I'm not big on that, Bolly. I'm not big on that at all. You know what? Be genuine. Once again, don't worry about winning the press conference. How about you win the hearts and minds of those men that are in the meeting room? Yeah. That's what I want from my head coach.
Did Todd Bowles win a single press conference in his 2 years, 3 years now as a Jets head coach?
He did not,
no,
Bolly. No.
By design, he knows how to operate with
what
the New York
Bill
media.
Bill Belichick? I mean, right. Just stop it. Think about right. Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick has never won the press conference.
Right.
I know this because I played for him for 2 years. Never did he win the press conference.
Now, do us media pencil necks? Do we appreciate that? Do we love a good soundbite? Sure. It's entertaining. Sports is entertainment. It's great when it happens. It's obviously not necessary. It's not mandatory. First thing these guys have to do is be able to be a head coach and be themselves. And you heard Michael Bidwell talk about that. You know, that initial interview, okay, you sort of break the ice. It's that second interview where we really get to know the person, you know, the comfort, the fit, and it works both ways. And if you want to get to know some of these guys, especially someone like a Keith Armstrong, who's a special teams coach for the majority of his career, well, there was a clip, Ron Wolfley, on Hard Knocks 2014. He's with the Falcons, and he's addressing a special teams meeting room. Now, this is preseason. There's got to be three dozen guys in this room.
Yes.
You've been there and done that for 10 years of your life. You were in all these meetings. And they did not have a particularly good showing coming off a preseason game where they had a punt blocked and some other special teams gaffes. And Keith Armstrong let the players know that he expects more.
The hell is this? Look at this crap. You kidding me? It ain't okay to go around here and not know. That ain't cute. It ain't okay to not know. Look at this. You kidding me? What'd I tell you about your feet?
Not so what?
And I told you to do what? Go back and attack the man, correct? You understand? And you wonder why I'm on your ass all the time. Because you like to do everything your way. You understand? You're gonna do it my way. Got it? That's one man talking to another man. I'm not in the bathroom talking behind your back, talking about I'm a man. I'm coming to talk right in your face, and I'm telling you, do it the way I tell you to do it. You got it? That's a man. I told you to your face.
That is Keith Armstrong in action. Hard Knocks 2014 Falcons training camp. Does that take you back a bit?
Oh, my goodness, Paulie. That is a warm blanket on a cold winter's night. Wrap it around me. It is medicine to my soul to listen to an NFL coach. And I will tell you right now, again, look it. There are guys out there that don't respond well to Keith Armstrong or people like Keith Armstrong. There are guys out there that wouldn't respond well. I'm just saying, for me personally, it's what I love. I've had grown men challenge me, Paul. I'm talking about challenge me on a football field in ways that I would never let you or anybody else challenge me, right? I'm talking about just vituperating you on the field, right? Those men to this day, I love them dearly. They cared about my best interest. They wanted me to get it right, and they wouldn't accept any type of effort that was not my absolute best. They would not accept it, and they would drill you into the ground verbally, and they would just, they would do things to you that, honestly, your mom would cringe if I told you. You know what? Honestly, that to me is coaching. Bruce Arians coached hard. When we talk about the culture and continuing the Bruce Arians culture, you have to start there. The fact that he coached hard, believed in coaching his players hard, screamed at them, and yet would hug them later, right, and love up on them later. And I don't know, but for me, I responded so well to that. But I am willing to admit there are guys that don't.
And Bruce Arians did it in a genuine, authentic manner. As Drew Stanton pointed out, as Jared Valdir pointed out, and that Monday after the season when BA was about to announce his retirement, and players appreciate that. They don't want to hear something different in the hallways than they're hearing to their face. Players want to be shot straight, and Keith Armstrong obviously comes from that school right there. And
you're going to talk to some people differently as well,
sure,
Paulie. You
no
need
doubt.
To know that. You're
yep.
going to talk to Larry Fitzgerald differently than you're going to talk to some undrafted rookie that's trying to make the team.
And a lot of those guys in that room, because they identified them with graphics, were Falcons rookies,
yes,
who are used to being position players,
yes,
and now they have to be on special teams,
yes,
and maybe they're not completely buying in yet, and he had to make sure to let them know this is your path to a contract in the NFL.
But what was interesting, Paulie, I was talking to Kurt Warner, as a matter of fact, today. Kurt Warner, and he was talking about Todd Haley and the relationship that he had with Todd Haley. And we know they'd get in screaming matches on the sideline,
all
right?
The time.
Just jaw to jaw.
They'd be trading text messages at midnight.
To this day, if you talk to Kurt Warner, what does Kurt Warner say? He says, you know what? I needed that, and I wanted that. I craved that hard coaching that Todd Haley brought. What an awesome thing for a quarterback to actually be able to say that.
What's maybe the best thing you can say about a coach? He got the best out of me,
yes,
as a player. And that's what Kurt Warner has always been grateful to Todd Haley for, no doubt about that. That culture of accountability that Michael Bidwell and Steve Keim cited when they launched this search, you heard that there in Keith Armstrong. Now, let's listen to Brian Flores, the young linebackers coach for the New England Patriots. He has come up through the ranks under Bill Belichick. I mean, in 2003, he was a scouting assistant. He has worked his way all the way up over the last decade plus. This is March 2017, the offseason. He's talking with students, and the topic was leadership.
I think each player, each student is a little bit different. You can take a hard stance, and I think for the most part, I start yelling. That's me. Guys understand that. I tell my players, if you're sensitive, this is going to be a tough place for you, because I expect them to play a certain way, to conduct themselves a certain way, and when they don't, they're going to hear from me.
And specifically, the topic there was communicating with his players. What is his style? What fashion does he do that? To me, that answer, it sort of smacks of a Q&A in an interview process. Describe your style, mm-hmm, and the manner in which you communicate with your players. That was his answer. And then they went on, and they obviously talked about his mentor, Bill Belichick, and he offered some advice he received from the soon-to-be Hall of Fame head coach.
I was in a meeting with Coach Belichick, and it was probably 10 years ago, and he said something that really changed the way I saw myself. He said this exactly. If you work hard and you put the team first, you're a leader. Again, if you work hard and you put the team first, you're a leader. And that really stuck with me. It stuck with me for a long time. When you speak, they'll listen, even if you don't speak very often.
Did you notice, Paulie, right there? I mean, he didn't say anything about how good you were.
No.
He didn't say anything about your talent.
No.
At all, right? You want to talk about a warm blanket. Once again, having played for Bill Belichick in 92 and 93, he hasn't changed one bit. Because that's exactly what he brought me in there to be, the special teams captain, as a matter of fact, right? He brought me in there for that very thing. I wasn't good. It wasn't like I was going to change a game. But you know what? If you work hard, right? If you work hard, you're going to be a leader.
That's a derivative of do your job, isn't it?
Do your job. Work hard. Put the team first. You'll be a leader.
All right, so that is Brian Flores. Obviously, he's involved in the AFC Championship game this weekend against Jacksonville. Keith Armstrong reportedly going to visit with the Cardinals, a second interview right here in the AZ at Cardinals HQ. Steve Wilks interviewed with the Titans on Thursday. The team confirmed that, and the reports say he'll be coming to Arizona on Friday. And then John DeFilippo might be tracking for an interview early next week, depending on the outcome with the Eagles.
Let's go out to dinner somewhere in Scottsdale, Paulie. I'm sure we'll see them. They'll be out.
All right, you cover that side of town. I'll cover this side of town. We'll just hit all the five-star restaurants.
The Camelback Corridor.
Exactly. All right, there's another question looming out there beyond the head coach and the quarterback. Larry Fitzgerald, will he or won't he? That is next on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Could be the game. Fourth down and one. Hand off Hightower. Running right. Gets to the outside. And he's got the first down at the 45 and pushed out of bounds. Throws a slant to Fitz. Caught at the 30. Inside the 25 and down at the 23. It's a gain of about 18 and a first down for the Cardinals.
Larry Fitzgerald is literally trying to will this team to victory right now.
Pumps right. Throws back to the left. Hightower caught at the 10. Cuts left to the 5. Hightower to the goal line. And in! Touchdown! And the Cardinals retake the lead with 2:53 to go. Picked off by Dockett. Dockett inside the 10. That's it. The Cardinals have shot the world. Right but true. The Cards have done it. They're going to Super Bowl 43.
Wow. Still chills to this day.
No doubt.
The call I never heard, even as your sideline reporter guy, it was so loud in University of Phoenix Stadium, I couldn't hear my own headset. So always great when Jim Almahondro breaks that out of the archives, and we get to relive that. By the way, Philly playing its first NFC Championship game since they lost that 2008 season version. 32-25 was your final on that one. As the Eagles are at home this weekend, it is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, of course. Larry was absolutely money during that postseason, an absolute historic performance throughout the 2008 NFL playoffs. Mm-hmm. And here's Larry, still among the league leaders after the 2017 season, 109 receptions, tying his career high at over 1,000 yards receiving. I mean, just seemingly every single week he's passing somebody on the all-time list or setting some new franchise or NFL record. Your thoughts on Larry and where he stands right now in his big decision?
You know, Paulie, I've talked to you about this before in the past, and I do believe this. Every professional athlete needs to see his own athletic mortality. Every professional athlete needs to metaphorically go and push that button for that boost, right? And go out and perform and produce the way that he always has. And some days, you're going to go and you're going to push that button and it's going to fire. There's no doubt about it. And other days it won't fire. And then suddenly there are other days where it just will not respond in the least. And every professional athlete needs to see his own athletic mortality. And I think Larry Fitzgerald is no exception. And because of that, he hasn't seen it.
He hasn't seen it.
He has not seen it yet. Not only in the way that he feels, because he says that he feels really, really good, but obviously in the production. His numbers over the last 3 years have been absolutely stunning. And you know more than anybody else, Paulie, Larry is a numbers guy.
Oh, yeah. He's a historian of the game. He knows exactly where he stands. This is my opinion. I think he's more of a football junkie than he's willing to admit. Yes, he loves the game of golf, but there is such a thing as too much golf, and he knows
he's
that...
He's got a long time to play
exactly.
Golf.
He's 34 years of age. He's still playing at a very high level. Here's the thing, though. He just lost his quarterback. Carson Palmer called it a career after 15 seasons.
Right.
He lost his head coach, which means here comes a new offensive system. So Larry Fitzgerald on the NFL Network was asked if his decision might in any way be tied to the retirements of Carson Palmer and Bruce Arians.
No, I'd never really, take into account all those things. You know, I just pretty much... go as long as I feel like I can play. I have a great deal of respect for both those men. We had a lot of great times together. I want to wish them best in retirement, and they're going to be sorely missed.
Now he is under contract for next year for somewhere between $11 and $12 million. That's a nice little inducement as well. There's no doubt about it.
Larry likes the chat as well.
Saying,
interesting.
Who wouldn't, right? It's your last chance to make big money like that as an NFL player.
Paulie, honestly, just listening to Larry right there once again, it goes back to seeing your own athletic mortality. He has not seen his own athletic mortality, right? He has done nothing but produce the last 3 years. I think it would be very, very difficult. The more and more I think about it, the more and more I hear Larry actually speak, the more I believe he's coming back in 2018. Again, okay. I could be dead wrong on that, but that's just my opinion.
Well, until Larry gives us the answer, we're just going to keep asking people who are close to him, like Carson Palmer, who was on the podcast with Susie Schuster and Rich Eisen, Not Just Sports. And the question was, look into your crystal football there, Carson Palmer. What do you think? Which direction is Larry going to go?
I think he's just kind of taking his time, seeing. I hope he keeps playing. He's still so good. But I also could see him moving on, too. I mean, I know we've talked about post football and things that have come across our desks over the years, so I know he's excited about that phase, too. But like I said, I mean, I would love to see him play. I mean, he's only 34. He's been in the league forever, but he's only 34 years old. And the way he plays, I mean, he's got a couple more years in him, at least.
I tell you what, if he does retire, the receiver position is already one of need. It would become a dire need if Larry Fitzgerald, your number one option, decides to call it a career. I mean, you would immediately start searching for a free agent or two to fill that void, and odds are you wouldn't be able to do it. I mean, it would set the Cardinals back. That would become a priority. There's no doubt on the depth chart.
You know, it's so hard to believe that, isn't it, Paulie? Going into last year, 2017, what would you say was the strongest room on the team? Maybe it was the defensive line. I think you could argue it was the defensive line, right? And you could look at the wide receiver room, and you would have said it was the wide receiver room, too.
Bruce Arians said that in the spring, and then circled back a few months later and said, they proved me wrong on that.
Yeah, the fact that the Cardinals right now are talking about trying to revamp the wide receiver room to some degree, it's still very difficult for me to get on top of because of the names that we know. J.J. Nelson, by way of example right here, two seasons ago, the man had an incredible year. Remember that. J.J. Nelson making these big plays, the propensity for the big play, and really developing, catching the ball and doing it on a four run. Which is a 10 to 12 yard curl, right? Or the out route. You know, he was developing as a wide receiver, running precise routes. And last year, I think, really set him back. And that's one name. John Brown, of course, the other name right there. Jerron Brown is a guy that's who knows what's going to happen with Jerron Brown. I love Jerron Brown as a football player. He makes your team better. You need him on this team. But
third-round rookie Chad Williams. He's got
to
step forward.
Chad Williams has got to step up.
Yep.
Exactly right, Paulie. But if you take Larry Fitzgerald, to your point, out of that equation in that room, boy, it really does change.
I mean, right now, if you ask for my power poll of priorities, quarterback is number one, offensive line is number two, receiver would be number three. If Larry were to retire, receiver would go to number two. If I'm Steve Keim and I'm out there in the offseason, and we know O-line and receiver, it's hard to get rookies to come in and make an immediate impact in the NFL these days.
Yep.
You got to hit the streets and try and find a free agent. All right, we'll come back with a Big Red Rage, and all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, and look ahead to the championship games.
To go, 24-23 Saints. Vikings at their own 39. It's third down. Three receivers right, Thielen left. Marshawn Lattimore 12 yards from Adam. Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs.
Stay
up!
Oh my God!
Loose.
Oh my God!
30!
No!
10! Touchdown!
Ah!
Are you kidding me?
Miracle finish!
It's a Minneapolis miracle! Step on Diggs! And the Minnesota Vikings have walked off on the New Orleans Saints! It's a 61-yard Minneapolis miracle! Let's go to Philadelphia! It's going to be 48 and drizzly, and we're bringing a purple rain!
Hence, you hear Prince here, and it was good to hear the thrill of victory in the voice of Paul Allen, the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, as opposed to the agony of defeat when the Cardinals knocked him out of the playoffs, Josh McCown to Nate Poole. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. You know something monumental happened there. You couldn't quite understand all of it because of the elation and the emotion of the call on the Vikings radio network right there. But Wolf, in terms of epic finishes in NFL history, where does that one rank?
Paulie, in all my years of being around this great game, in all my years of playing in it and being around it in different capacities, I have never seen anything like what we witnessed in that game with Marcus Williams. It will forever be known as the Marcus Williams game. Yeah. And that young man, listen, I'm a fan of Marcus Williams, especially the way he responded. He stood up after the game and he took all the criticisms. He took all the questions. Yep. He stood up there with eyes where you could see he was sobbing. He had been bawling, and I'm told that he was actually sobbing uncontrollably after the game because he let his entire team down, as we all know. And inexplicably, it just, I've never seen a game end that way. Listen, we all have seen a Hail Mary, but a Hail Mary is all about luck. This was all about not doing your job.
I mean, the Cardinals playoff win, you know, 2015 season in overtime against Green Bay, that was epic. There's no doubt about it. And it featured not only that fourth down play that then set up the Hail Mary, but then Larry Legend in overtime. So, yes, the drama was on display, no doubt about it. Look at it. I mean, the Vikings are now a win away from their first trip to the Super Bowl in 41 years. Neither team has won a Super Bowl, the Vikings or the Eagles. And once again, you're going to get Case Keenum against Nick Foles. And even Case Keenum joked, hey, no one predicted this one. How do you assess that? How do you assess just the fact that those two quarterbacks, one of them's going to be a Super Bowl quarterback, define the odds once again?
Oh, my goodness, Paulie. Where do you start on this one? I really don't know. I do know that I think these are going to be two very competitive games. We already talked a little bit about the Jacksonville Jaguar game and the New England Patriots, and we're going to talk more on that. I realize that. That's going to be a competitive game right there. But I also believe this is going to be a competitive game. Can you imagine at some point in time, Paulie, Case Keenum or Nick Foles has got to go out and win a game, because these two defenses can make an offense one-dimensional. That's the thing I can't get over. Case Keenum and Nick Foles and whomever plays better, they're going to have to go out and win a game, because the Minnesota Vikings defense right now, they could shut you down.
Oh.
And even though the Philadelphia Eagles run the ball very, very well, I would say an elite rushing team behind a very good offensive line, number 3 and number 4 in yards per game and yards per play. You put the two together, you are what you are, right? They can run the football, but the Vikings are going to shut you down. That front 7 is so physical. They're an excellent front 7. They're an excellent defense. Nick Foles is going to have to move the ball and throw the ball for the Eagles to win this game, and you can flip it over and say the exact same thing for Case Keenum.
I did not realize until the next day that Nick Foles set an Eagles franchise playoff record with a completion percentage of almost 77%. Against the Falcons, right? That, I mean, you think about what Nick Foles was able to do, and then you look at that Minnesota defense, number 1 in scoring D, number 1 in total D, and they were number 1 in third down defense.
Yes.
The opponent third down conversion percentage was 25%.
And you want to know one of the reasons why? Because they were so good in rundown situations. They're number 2 in rushing yards per game, number 5 in rushing yards per play. The Minnesota Vikings, an elite defense when it comes to stopping the run. They're going to make Nick Foles beat him. You better believe they're going to make Nick Foles beat him. And you know, when you flip it over, the Philadelphia Eagles, their front 7, Paul, rush defense, number 1 in the National Football League in yards per game and number 6 in yards per play. They're going to make Case Keenum beat him.
And Fletcher Cox, man, he was an absolute wrecking ball last week. There's no doubt about it. All right, so we'll see if the Vikings have some more magic behind them, what they call the Minneapolis Miracle. And the call of the game, well, let's just say it's gone viral to the point where the Vikings Twitter account had some elementary school kids try and recreate the game-winning call.
10 seconds left in the game, 24-23, Saints.
Three receivers right, ceiling left, Case on the deep drop, fires right, caught by Diggs,
Jason Bell!
Go, 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 touchdown!
It's a 61-yard Minneapolis miracle!
Yes!
You know what? That's the first time I've heard that. That actually exceeded my expectations.
That was so good. You know what? It was so accurate with the screaming in the back.
Yes. The energy was right where it needed to be on that call. Well done by those second and third and fourth graders.
That was awesome.
No, that was very well done. And you know what? There's going to be some great drama over the weekend. There's going to be some great defense. And as we mentioned, three of the four quarterbacks are considered non-elite quarterbacks. One of them is going to the Super Bowl. And honestly, if you ask me the best game that I've seen in the last 2 years,
yes,
I will still take the Thursday night slugfest, Cardinals and Seattle Seahawks 6-6 game. I'll still take that.
Love it, man.
I can't take my eyes off Jacksonville's defense.
Yes.
And I can't wait to talk about that next in their matchup against Bill Belichick. And wait a minute, what was the news out of Patriots practice today about their elite quarterback? That is next. It's the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Tee it up at the 35. He boots it along the ground. It's picked up by Cole, who just runs and then takes a knee. And that will do it. For the first time since the 1999 season, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the surprise team in the National Football League, have come to Pittsburgh and have stunned the Steelers by a final score of 45-42 and will play in the AFC Championship game against the New England Patriots next weekend.
And just listen to how quiet it was at Heinz Field at the end of that game as the Jaguars seal it. They're now a win away from their first trip ever to a Super Bowl. One of four franchises. Ron Wolfley, welcome back into the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. Four franchises have never been to a Super Bowl. The Jags, the Lions, the Browns, and the Texans. And you're going to get a team that's going to go against Tom Brady and company, and a team with a stellar defense, and they're also a team that, look, when Blake Bortles doesn't have a turnover, they are 8-0 this season. So if he plays it safe,
there you have it,
and doesn't turn the ball over, and they excel on defense and the run game with Leonard Fournette, because you know the Steelers came in, they wanted to stop Leonard Fournette. Guess what? They didn't. He had over 100 yards and three touchdowns.
Yes, and all they're going to need is for Blake Bortles to actually make a couple of clutch third down throws. They're going to be able to run the ball. You know they're going to line up. They're going to hammer the ball. New England's going to do everything they can to shut that running game down and force Blake Bortles to beat him, and that's why play action. Run down situation. First and 10, second and 1-6. It's going to be huge for the Jacksonville Jaguars offensively because they need to throw the ball and throw it well, effectively using play action in those rundowns. But having said that, Paulie, it really is. It's the defense of the Jaguars and Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. That's the matchup I can't wait for.
And what's the analysis we've heard all week long that Tom Coughlin, who's now the director of the franchise, has, you know, indeed, you know, beaten the Patriots twice on the big stage, and he's found the formula. Can they do it again and get to the quarterback, Tom Brady, as you put the hood on? And that would be the question of Bill Belichick if he was asked about that. Because remember, the formula is get Tom Brady off his spot, yes, and then he'll be off his game.
Yes, listen, we know that Bill Belichick is going to go after, right? He's going to go after Blake Bortles. We understand that. But when you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars and what they're going to do, I can tell you right now, Paul, they're all about rushing four and dropping seven. They're not a blitz team. As a matter of fact, the Jacksonville Jaguars blitz less than any other team in the National Football League. You rush four, and you've got four guys that can actually get pressure on Tom Brady and drop seven. That has always been the way you beat Tom Brady, and that's exactly what the Jaguars are going to do again. Three wide receiver packages as well. If you want to run your three wide package, which the Patriots love, the Jacksonville Jaguars are excellent against that. As a matter of fact, they're number one in the National Football League in yards per attempt allowed, passing yards per attempt allowed when you're in three wide receivers. When you go regular people, when you have two wide receivers in there with two running backs and a tight end, that's when the Jaguars have problems. I think the Patriots are going to use their fullback a lot in this game. But make no mistake about it, it is the matchup of the Jacksonville Jaguars defense and Tom Brady and the Patriots offense that will decide this game.
And I'll leave you with this stat. Tom Brady has faced top two scoring defenses in the playoffs three different times, the 2014 Seahawks, the 2004 Eagles, the 2004 Steelers. He is 3-0 with a passer rating above 100 in each game.
Yeah.
Thing is, a teammate ran into him in practice yesterday, and he didn't practice today. His throwing hand is injured. For those streaming, you can see the look on Wolf's face with his hood on.
Scowling.
Remarkably resembling your former head coach, Bill Belichick. Special thanks, Jim Omahunder, Ali Nerini. That is the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
On to Jacksonville.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
One, two, three, let's go!
And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
Woo! What's up, boy?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.